Johnny Bright, Frank Morgan Show.
And Marines of the United Nations, a special rebroadcast of John Cotty, Harlow Wilcox, Frank Tours and his orchestra, Hanley Stafford as Daddy, Fanny Bryce as Baby Snook, and Frank Morgan.
Oh, I'm packing my grip, and I'm leaving today, but I'm taking a trip California way. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. I think that I'm safe in Satan. He will be waiting when my lonely journey is done. And kindly old Reverend Thomas, he made us a promise. He will make the two of us one. So I'm hitting the trail to the cow country. You can forward my mail. Care of RFD. I'm gonna settle down and never more roam, and make the San Fernando Valley my home. Make the San Fernando Valley my home.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, and good evening, everyone.
Oh, what ho, Pompey. Cover the evening and all that sort of bill.
Ah, right, so sure. Comment allez-vous, mon ami? Free translation, what's with you, Kate?
Oh, I'm about the same. Pretty horrible.
I see.
My wife had a spot of trouble, though. She's in the hospital for a jaw operation.
A jaw operation? My, what a shame. Won't that interfere with her talking?
Oh, it wouldn't dare.
Well, cheer up, Georgie. We have a charming guest this evening. She happens to be, of all things, a lady jockey.
Lady jockey, right? Thank you, Don.
I thought it would surprise you. Yes, she is a most attractive veteran of many thrilling races at the only track in the Americas employing girl jockeys. Aguascaliente, just across that friendly Mexican border. So without more ado, ladies and gentlemen, meet one of the few women a man will bet on, Miss Faye Johnson.
John, good evening, Mr. Tour.
My head, I can't get over it. A dainty little thing like you riding race horses. How on earth did you happen to become a jockey, anyway?
Well, I've always made my living with horses, Mr. Tours, as a rancher in Colorado, and then as a stick rider with rodeos, and more recently as a stunt rider and a double in motion pictures. But I'd always envied men the opportunity to ride race horses, so when I heard that Caliente wanted some girl jockeys, I beat the track record getting there.
That's a tough assignment for a girl, just the same. What do you find is the hardest part of your unusual job, Faye?
Well, my main problem is every woman.
What?
Keeping the old weight down.
I see.
A girl may fool your husband, but it won't fool the horse. He knows what he's carrying.
So it's the 15-day diet twice a month, huh?
Well, John, we girl jockeys are so hungry that after our last race, we're going to barbecue the losing horse.
That's not a bad idea. There are no red points involved, anyway. But I'd like to ask a favor. Can you give us any tips on how to play the galloping favorite thing?
Well, I never bet myself, John, but most of the smart money backs the favorite for a small but reasonably sure profit.
Yes, but suppose there is no favorite, such as in the maiden races. Inasmuch as a maiden race isn't a handicap, I imagine the bet system is to put two across the board.
Nonsense, jockey. If you've got any extra maidens, just put one across my lap. Greetings, greetings, my rapish companions. And if you want to make it two maidens, I assure you it'll be a handicap. What have we here, a lady jockey?
Right you are, a lady jockey.
That's what I said, jockey, a lady.
Yes, she's a lady jockey.
No, talking to yourself, eh? Nancy,
I'm not talking to myself. I'm talking to you. Faye's a lady jockey, Frank.
Faye's a lady jockey, Frank. Now you're double talking to yourself. My boy, if I were you, I'd stop drinking at once. But only if I were you. Which is a horrible price to pay.
Oh, please, please. I'm a lady jockey.
Of course you're a lady, my dear. I don't see why jockey makes such a point of it. Now, let's approach this thing calmly. What does the lady do, jockey?
Yes, she does.
Does what? Jockey! Is there a doctor in the audience?
Before we all meet a doctor, let me explain, Mr. Morgan.
Yes.
You see, I ride racehorses at the Caliente track.
Oh, then you're a lady jockey. Yes. Why didn't someone mention it?
Well, I'll admit it's rather unusual, but...
Unusual? Not at all, my little sweetmeat. History is laden with the exploits of women jockeys. From Lady Godiva to Gypsy Rose Lee.
Lady Godiva and Gypsy Rose Lee, did they ever win a race?
No, but they always showed. Well, you see, my dear, I'm a little more than a little familiar with racehorses.
You are.
Having personally trained the greatest jockey who ever lived.
Who is that?
Me? You? Oh, no. Oh, yes. The man who defeated War Admiral, Sire of Sea Biscuit, and the Kentucky Derby.
That's ridiculous.
Why?
The record books will definitely prove.
Have you a record book with you, jockey?
No, but I can...
Have you?
No.
Well, let's look at the record. Since the first thoroughbred was foaled in old Kentucky, the House of Morgan has been part of the sport of kings.
Yeah.
Beginning with my great-grandfather, Spavin Morgan, who my uncle long-shot and my uncle half-shot. And including my cousin Bluegrass. Always in clover. Quite a bit of a race. Oh, no!
Were there any lady jockeys in the family?
Just one. A great aunt who rode the Morgan entry once a year in the big race at Highly Up Prouder.
Did it widen her handicap?
Eventually, it widened her all over.
I don't know!
He then retired from competition and took up my instruction. And I soon became the girlhood hero, and justly so, of beautiful Flora, the daughter of the trainer on our breeding farm. A wave of nostalgia engulfs me as I recall how Flora and I used to exercise the thoroughbred, racing down the stretch together. Yes, as soon as we got rid of the horses. Yes, but I usually won, as my favorite mount was a horse called Milady's Girdle. Great in the stretch, of course. At last, I was ready to begin my meteoric career as a jockey, and poor Flora pleaded with me to take her to see my first race in Saratoga.
Well,
take me with you, Frank, please. You can take me for $40.
Well, what did you do?
I took her for $40. With this modest capital, I set out for Saratoga, heart light and courage high. Imagine the depths of my humiliation when I failed in my first big handicap race. I was scratched in the Belmont.
Oh, that must have hurt.
Yes, it's always been a tender spot with me.
It's a nice beginning, Pancho.
My hour of triumph was in the offing. I decided to purchase my own mount and comb the countryside for a likely colt. One day, as I wandered along a country road, I saw a brown horse grazing. But paid no heed to him until he leaned over the fence and called to me. Hey, bud, he said, how'd you like to buy a good racehorse, chief?
A horse leaned over the fence and talked to you?
Yes, well, what's strange about that? It was a low fence. My name's Chester, he continued, extending a friendly hook. If you're interested in horse racing, I think I can do you some good. I've got to get back to the city anyway. This cobra's hard on my hay fever. Yes, I agreed to buy him from the farmer, and Chester thanked me with tears in his eyes, running a hook through his mane nervously.
All right, so you bought Chester. So what?
Not so fast, jockey. When I returned to the pasture, Chester had gone.
Gone?
Yes, I was thunderstruck, flabbergasted. It was definitely a horse on me.
Oh.
I searched high and low for Chester, but he left no trace. Then one day, disturbed and dejected, I chanced to visit the ballpark, and there was my horse pitching for the Philadelphia Athletic.
What?
Yes.
Pitching for the Athletic?
Well, you must remember, jockey, it was only his first season. As a matter of fact, I learned he joined the team that very morning, and it was his first game.
Oh, murder.
Then Chester came to bat. He pulled a scorching line at the deep center, good for a dribble in any part. But he stood stock still at the plate. The manager rushed over him, screaming, run, you idiot, run! Chester regarded him coolly, shrugged his withers in disdain, and said, are you kidding? If I could run, do you think I'd be playing baseball? But he was. He just wanted to throw an order or two before he settled down.
Oh.
I threw him away after the game, and he promised he'd make good for me, so I entered him in the Kentucky Derby against the immortal War Admiral.
Great Kentucky Derby.
Ah, Derby Day. Derby Day when houses king and southern queens pay homage. Kentucky colonels are sipping them in tulips as they wait for the fine England cry. Stay off!
Stay off!
War Admiral broke fast, heading for the rail. The other horses bunching up as the bar was lifted.
Where were you?
I was still at the bar having a quick one. Chester hastily downed his martini and took up the chase. It seemed hopeless, but I didn't know Chester.
Yes, yes.
We pulled up behind the bunch thoroughbreds. Chester called out to them. Hey, fellas, what are you breaking your neck for? Suppose you do win. You only get the prize money, the jockey gets a bonus, and what do you get? A lousy bag of oats.
Use your horse, then.
A strategy, huh?
Yes. Naturally, the other horses stopped immediately to form a union. Only War Admiral was left, and soon Chester was at his heels. Then he turned and gave me a wink. Watch this one, Tom, he said, and started crowding between War Admiral and the rail. Leaning over toward War Admiral, he shrieked in a high falsetto voice,
"Well, wouldn't you think a gentleman would make room for a lady?"
What happened?
Being a too sudden aristocrat, War Admiral stopped, bowed politely, allowing us to cross the finish line, winner by a neck. I cantered to the judge's stand to receive the cup.
Stop.
And
that's not
Morgan.
Does what?
That tears it, friend.
Tears who?
You are hoist by your own petard.
War Admiral won the only jersey he ran in, and I can prove it.
Oh.
You stuck your neck out this time, Pancho.
On the contrary, jockey, I actually won that race. But War Admiral received official credit when I was disqualified.
Hmm?
The judges learning how Chester has tricked his way to victory.
They found out how?
Yes. The darn horse just couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Well, go on,
here is Carmen Dragon, an arrangement of Cole Porter's new song, I Love You. Frank Tours conducts the orchestra. John Conte sings the lyrics. Ladies and gentlemen, and thank you, Maestro Tours. And now I... Oh, excuse me, the phone. Hello?
Hello. Mr. Conte.
Yes, who is this?
This is Mrs. Higgins, Snook's mother.
Mummy, well, certainly nice to hear from you. Any news from Daddy and Snook?
Yes, I haven't had any word for a week, and I'm terribly worried.
Oh, now, Mummy, there's nothing to be concerned about. According to Daddy's last letter, they're hitchhiking back.
Hitchhiking?
Yes.
So that's what my brilliant husband is doing with a child. I knew I never should have let them go to California. I knew it.
Now, control yourself, Mrs. Higgins. Snook can take care of herself, and I'm sure Daddy will be all right.
He will he? Well, just just wait till he gets home.
Barry!
Quiet, Snooker. Here comes another car. Quick, do as I told you. Going down? Give us a lift! Peasant! I suppose so. Nothing seems to do any good. Four cars have passed while you've been lying there helpless.
Maybe they don't see me.
Oh, they see you all right. I think that's why they won't stop.
Shall I fix my stockings?
Fix your stockings?
Yeah.
What for?
Well, Claudette Colbert did it in that picture with Clarke.
Look, you are not Claudette Colbert.
I know it, Daddy.
Oh, what are you looking so unhappy about?
Because you're not Clark Abel.
Ah, come on. Oh, there must be a town around somewhere. This desert can't go on forever.
Why?
Because this is the United States of America.
Uh huh.
Wouldn't you think there'd be something out here beside all this sand?
Maybe there's things.
Well, I'll certainly be glad to get to a town so I can take a bus home.
It won't do no good.
Why not?
Mommy won't let you see this.
Oh, come on.
Oh, carry me, Dad.
Now, stop that, no. I can barely carry myself.
But I'm tired.
Okay, give me one of your feet and I'll drag you.
No. The rock still hurts my head.
Well, then, stop beating. We'll get a ride in a jiffy.
What's a jiffy?
It's a small car with green whiskers. Can you imagine all those people driving past us without stopping? Why, when I was driving my car, there wasn't anybody I wouldn't pick up.
And you'd whistle at them too, Dad.
I did not.
Then why did Mommy break the lamp on your head?
That's her idea of the way to a man's heart.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, Snook, my blood boils at the type of callousness we're encountering.
Mine too.
Yours too what?
I got callousness.
Why can't they stop? Life's too short to ignore fellow human beings in distress.
Yes,
we're only here one fleeting second in eternity, and then snuffed out. Why, Cook, do you realize that every time I breathe, a man dies?
Maybe that's why we can't get alive.
Oh, Cook, look. Here comes another car.
Where?
Way down the road. About a mile.
Shall I lay down?
Yes. No, wait a minute. Maybe our whole approach is wrong. Maybe a big line at the middle of the road should lie in the middle of the road.
Why?
Well, don't you see? Then he has to stop for the...
For what, Daddy?
For the... Well, he'll... he'll hit
you. You lay down.
Look, would I ask you to do anything that might hurt you? Would I?
Wouldn't you?
Oh, don't be stubborn. He'll slow down. Nobody should be that cold-blooded. And if by any chance he doesn't slow down, well, don't you worry.
What do you do?
I'll sue him for every cent he's got.
You lay down, I'm out here.
No, leave.
I lay down in no row.
Oh, all right. If that's the way you feel about it, I lie down.
Why don't you lie out in the middle like you told me?
Well, on second thought, maybe he has no insurance. All right, now bend over me and start crying.
Why?
Well, it will make a more pathetic picture. You, a little girl, bending over your poor, battered daddy.
Poor daddy.
Well, cry. What are you laughing at?
You look funny, battered daddy.
Oh, well, maybe this will help. What happened?
My dad.
Why, what's the matter with him?
He's daddy.
Get me.
Poor doctor.
Don't move. Don't let him move, little girl.
Why?
That's the first thing they told me in my first aid class.
Now, wait here. Wait here. I'll get my kit and bandage him.
Okay.
Yes. Do it. Now, listen to me, dear. We've got to get this man to give us a ride.
Uh-huh.
So tell him I'm backing her.
What'll I tell him?
I don't know. Well, here he comes. Take up something. Oh. Well, here's all my first aid equipment. Now, tell me what happened, little girl. Did a car hit him?
No. A train.
A train? Why, there isn't a train within a mile of here.
There isn't?
No.
Well, that changed the whole heart and hit him.
Oh, that's awful. The poor man staggering all the way over here for help. Look, what was he doing on a railroad track anyway?
He wasn't on a railroad track.
Well, then how did the train hit him?
It jumped off the track and chased him across a big field.
What?
Yeah, and then the engineer leaned out and hit him over the head with a monkey wrench.
Oh, so sharp.
Oh, he's coming to. He's coming to here. Here, old man, here's a drink for you.
Thanks.
Oh, water. Now, just lie quietly, and I'll try to see what's wrong. No surface wounds, no fractures.
Check me. Ow.
Wouldn't think of moving you. It's contrary to all the laws of first aid.
What's that wooden thing?
Well, that's a splint. It grows on a broken arm.
Put it on again.
But his arm isn't broken.
Let's break it.
When I get you alone.
No, don't upset yourself. Here, let me get this head bandage on.
Oh, get away from me, you lunatic.
Delirious, too, huh?
Poor little battered daddy.
I think we'd better bandage him.
Yes, I am up.
Oh, here, help me with this bandage.
Put a lot on the right arm.
Why his right arm?
That's the one he's thanking
you with. No, little girl, I'm only doing this to keep him from getting violent and hurting somebody.
Don't mind.
All right.
Keep it off me.
There. His hands are tied together. Now he's free.
Yeah. He might kick me.
Oh, let me up, you blundering, stupid fool. Of all the idiotic...
Please, sir, control yourself. Or I'll have to use force.
You want a monkey wrench?
No. There are other ways of keeping a violent hate from shouting. Now, let's see. Could we use a gag here?
You know what?
No, child. A gag is something you put in a man's mouth. Like this.
Hello, Pizza Claus.
You take that thing away from me. Don't you dare.
Daddy, you mustn't talk with your mouth full.
Now, look, little girl. I'm going into town for a doctor. He's trussed up pretty tightly, so you stay right here with him and keep the bugs off his face.
Goodbye, mister.
Be brave, little girl. I'll be back for you.
What's the matter, little dad? You want me to tell you a story?
No.
Okay. Once there was a great big... Don't you like that story? You want me to take the bag out of your mouth, little daddy?
Uh-huh.
All right. There.
Get these bandages off me.
But the man's dead.
Never mind what the man said. Get these bandages off me.
Why?
You'll find out why. I'm going to tan your hide up. I'm going to give you the sighting of your life. I'm going to...
Thank you, sir. Poor
Morgan Fanny Price Show is a rebroadcast presentation for the American Armed Forces and their allies. Now, in the time still remaining, we present a musical after show featuring Victor Young and his orchestra. Thank you. Presentation of the Armed Forces Radio Service.